1 John chapter 2. While you're doing that, I'll get my props ready.
Oh boy.
The suspense is killing you, isn't it? Last week we talked about walking the walk, meaning that Christianity is more than stating a personal belief in Jesus or about Jesus.
Amen.
Christianity, according to Scripture, is about walking as Jesus walked. Walking as Jesus walked. And we took our cue from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. The one who says that he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same manner that Jesus walked. And at the conclusion of last week's message, I challenged you to ask yourselves some questions at the end of each day. Three questions. Many of you wrote them down. The first, did my walk match my talk? The second, did I walk today as Jesus would have walked? And the third, did I truly abide in him? How did you do? Pretty hard, isn't it? And yet Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Walking with Jesus, walking in the same manner that Jesus walked, according to Jesus' own words, should be easy, and the burden should be light. And yet, how many times have we heard the phrase, Christianity is not an easy walk, is not an easy life? I remember when I was growing up, one of the things that used to be used as a drawing point for individuals, teenagers, to submit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ was the fact that it took somebody tough to be a Christian. And I thought, there goes me. Because I was everything but tough. We tried to use things to draw people, and in doing so, we distorted the gospel. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We've been taught that when we fail, we simply need to expend more effort. We must try harder. And in recent years, a phrase has become popular that simplifies that cycle a little bit. It goes like this: work smarter, not harder. But the emphasis is still on what you are to be able to do. In other words, we're supposed to look at the situation and think. Don't just expend more energy. Because more energy in the wrong direction is simply going in the wrong direction faster.
Amen.
But you're still going the wrong way. You'll still end up doing the wrong thing. You still end up in failure. Think about it. Why is walking the walk so hard? When Caleb was about 2 or 3, he was, as most children are at that age, and he wanted to be like his daddy. And one morning he came out of the bedroom wearing his daddy's hiking boots. It was quite a scene. His little child's foot, size 6, in Phil's size 12 hiking boot. And he would shuffle forward and take a step and go to shuffle forward and trip. Catch himself, shuffle forward again, trip. He spent more time on his hands and knees than he did walking. He wanted to be like his daddy, and the way he envisioned that was to walk in his daddy's shoes. This morning I'd like to talk to you again about our walk and about shoes. Shoes have a lot to do with how we walk. Shoes come in all styles and sizes. From an infant's first booties to Shaq O'Neal's size 22, triple E. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all that was required to assume the characteristics of another was to walk in their shoes? Why, I could be like Michael Jordan. Imagine that. You can't imagine that? I could put to rest once and for all that silly statement, white men can't jump. I could be called Air Ernst. All I need is shoes. Shoes that Michael would wear. Shoes like these. Now actually these are a little bit bigger than Michael Jordan's shoes. These are 15 quadruple E. What I was aiming for was kind of a cross between Michael Jordan and Shaq O'Neal. These are fine shoes. They feel good. You know what they do in a shoe store to see if they're too tight? They kind of squeeze and push. A lot of room. Now.
Go, Jordan, go.
Just one more thing. And now I'm ready. Now I'm not going to do the air trick because I'd probably hit my head on the ceiling. Aren't they nice? You know, I think I know why they call him Air Jordan. I think he probably has little bitty feet too, because there's a lot of air in these shoes. Now, you know the sad thing about all this? I put these shoes on. I've got a basketball. I'm still Tom Ernst. With a little bit of a difference. I look ridiculous. And I can guarantee you, I don't think I would want to try running in these, because it would probably be three steps and flat on my face. Because these are 15s, and I wear 8s. I've got room for another foot. I've got the shoes, the ball, the desire. But I will never be Michael Jordan or Shaq O'Neal or anyone other than who I am. What in the world does it mean when we are told that we ought to walk as Jesus walked? Mommy. Listen, we may be sure of what it doesn't mean, while we have questions about what it actually does mean. We can know that it doesn't mean to try and fill his shoes. When someone of importance leaves a job and a replacement is found, one of the things that is realized by both sides is that the individual who left big shoes to fill, and the one replacing him lets it be known that he can't fill them. In fact, that's one of the things that is often said at the beginning of the process of employment. I can't fill this last person's shoes, so don't expect me to. I'm a different individual. I look at life differently. I have different goals, different expectations, and different ways of doing things. If walking as Jesus walked doesn't mean filling his shoes, what does it mean? Perhaps what we need is a different picture. Stuart Briscoe, who is a contemporary pastor and author, recounts the following story of his life. He says, many years ago, when the children were small, we went for a little drive in the lovely English countryside, and there was some fresh snow. I saw a field without a single blemish on the virgin snow. I stopped the car, and I vaulted over the gate, and I ran around in a great big circle, striding as wide as I could. Then I came back to the kids, and I said, now children, I want you to follow in my footsteps. I want you to run around that circle in the snow, and I want you to put your feet where your father put his feet. Well, my son David tried it. Couldn't quite make it. Judy, our overachiever, was certain she could make it. She couldn't make it. Pete, the little kid, took a great run at it. He put his foot in my first footprint and then strode out as far as he could and fell on his face. His mother picked him up as he cried. She said to me, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm trying to get a sermon illustration. I said, Pete, come here. I picked up little Peter and I put his left foot on my left foot and his right foot on my right foot. And I said, okay, Pete, let's go. I began to stride one big stride at a time with my hands under his armpits and his feet lightly on mine. Well, who was doing it? In a sense, there was a commitment of the little boy to the big dad, and some of the properties of the big dad were working through the little boy. In exactly the same way, in our powerlessness, we can't stride as wide as we should. We don't walk the way we should. It isn't that at every point we are as bad as we could be. It's just that at no point are we as good as we should be. End quote. What a picture. Walking as Jesus walked is not walking in Jesus' shoes, nor is it trying to walk in his steps, trying to match his footprints with ours. Why not? Because for one thing, all of our concentration and our effort would go into trying to match that stride. We would spend all of our time tripping. I've always wondered what that word meant. We hear it a lot in the drug culture. Tripping is because they don't have on the right shoes. Too much tripping in our walk leads to discouragement. And we become discouraged because although we could talk the talk, we keep finding out that we can't walk the walk. Isn't that all too often the way it is? The point of our discouragement is because of our numerous and too numerous personal failures. As Stuart Briscoe stated, at no point are we as good as we should be. And we know it. And then we come to church. And we hear that the Apostle John says, if anyone says he abides in Christ, he ought to walk as Jesus walked. And we want to cry out, I've tried. All week long I've tried. And I keep tripping. I've even tried to change my shoes. And I keep tripping. Or we read Paul's words from the book of Colossians. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Numerous scriptures throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament encouraging us to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what makes our walking so difficult is either we aren't really in him, or we are struggling because we want to go our own way. If we aren't in him, what does that mean? It simply means that we have never really placed our trust in Jesus. We may believe scriptural facts about Jesus, but we've never taken the initial step to accept him as our Savior. If we say we are in him and we keep tripping, it's because we are struggling to go our own way. And if that is true, the reason for that is because we have not fully submitted to his will, his leading. We're believers. We say we've been born again, but we are more like Jonah than John. In conclusion this morning, in order for the way to become easy, we must cease from struggling.
Right.
Cease from struggling. Every difficulty that I still experience in my Christian walk is rooted right here. It's because I struggle. I find that the way that Jesus wants me to go is not necessarily the way that I want to go at that particular junction of my life. And so I struggle. And I am miserable. And miserable to be around until I cease struggling. And I yield myself once again to the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ. The only way to walk as Jesus walked is to be in Him and allow Him to walk. How do we do that? First, Scripture says we have to believe in Him. Not just believe about Him, but believe in Him, accepting His death as a price for our sins. We sang a tremendous number of songs this morning that were focused on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John, the same one who encourages us to walk as Jesus walked, tells us that we have to depend on that blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We have to ask His forgiveness. The Bible calls that being born again. The first step of the rest of your life is the step of repentance. And you will either walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ or you will turn around. And that's what repentance means. It means to turn around. You will turn around both in your thinking and in the direction that you are going. You will turn around and you will walk to Him. That's repentance. Second, in those steps of repentance, we must submit our lives to Him, trusting Him not only as Savior, but as Lord. It's amazing how we have the ability to trust Jesus to save us from our sins. While we have the ability to trust Him to bring us into eternity with the Father. But we have seeming no ability to trust Him while we live here on earth. And the amazing thing about that relationship with God is that He promises us in a covenant relationship to take care of all of our needs. He promises us to help us walk. He puts His Spirit within us so that we're able to walk as Jesus walked. It's all part of the package that we receive at salvation. So we're not talking here a temporary fix. It's a life-changing decision. I want to challenge you about something. You've tried it your way up till now. And peace and happiness have been too elusive. The challenge is for you to submit to the Lordship of Jesus and God's way. Because God's way is for us to let go of our own life and let God be in control. And the picture that Stuart Friscoe drew for us with that sermon illustration is the picture that God wants us to be involved in. It's not tolerance with Jesus' shoes. It's not tolerance trying to walk in Jesus' steps. It's tolerance in Jesus, and it's Jesus walking. And you want to know something? That's what the world wants to see.
That's right.
And what they're seeing is ridiculous stuff like this. Because we're trying so hard and continually tripping and falling flat on our face. And it's not honoring to God. Because we're not walking as Jesus walked. Jesus never tripped. Jesus never fell. He always strode with a purpose and in strength and in assurance and in boldness. He never tripped. And yet, how many times do we do it? And the reason, beloved people, is because we've got on the wrong shoes. You see, they come off real easy. I don't even have to untie them. In fact, I could put them on the same way. They're nice shoes, but they're not mine. They're not made for me. They're made for somebody that has a size 15 triple E foot, quadruple E foot. Bill? My shoes, while they don't have as much air, are far more comfortable because they're sized to my feet. God never expected you to walk with Jesus' shoes. They're too big. He never expected you to walk in Jesus' steps. The stride is too far apart. But he does expect you to walk in Jesus. Amen. And the difference is where you put your feet. When I put my feet on Jesus' feet, I walk in Jesus. When I try it any other way, it's failure. If I try to walk my own way, it's failure. If I try to wear a different shoe, it's failure. If I try to take the big steps, I fall flat on my face. The only way it will work is when my feet are on Jesus' feet. And it's Jesus that's doing the walking. You want to know what else is so phenomenal about that? That picture that Stuart Driscoll drew for us is the arms of that father are around his little boy, holding him fast. He can't fall. He won't trip. And he will go exactly every single place that his father takes him. That's what Jesus wants for you. It's what he wants for me. All we have to do is yield in obedience to him. But to do that takes a step of faith. And I challenge you, if you have not made that step, that you take that step this morning. As we stand together and sing, there's room at the cross for you. And as we sing this hymn, we have a place here for you to come, either in initial repentance or in total surrender, where you say to Jesus, I'm tired of tripping. I'm tired of walking in my own strength. I want to walk as Jesus walked. As we sing together, do we have an overhead here? Thank you. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we know that the desire that you have manifested through your word, through the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ, is for us to walk as Jesus walked. I pray that your Spirit would continue to work with each of us to bring us to that point of complete yieldedness, that every step that is taken would be the step that Jesus takes, that you might receive the glory and the power that is due your name. And all God's people said,